Well, flock, Tori, we call our insiders our flock. And I'm so happy that Tori Washington has agreed to join us today and talk a little bit more. If you missed his interview this past week, definitely catch it because it's fascinating on a number of different levels. It's not often I get to talk to somebody about religion and bodybuilding and sports and sweet potatoes. It's a nice combination. So we talked a little bit about food and we talked about our mutual love for sweet potatoes. But tell me what else you love to eat. Are you a good cook?
You know, I will say I'm average because I'm so simple. You know, it doesn't take much to please me. So if you make something, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to enjoy it and love it. Because especially if it's vegan and it's plant-based, I will eat it. You know, I'm not
going to... Yeah, I'm totally the same way. Like, it takes me 5 minutes to make my dinner. It's just so simple. Yeah. And whatever anybody puts in front of me, with the sad exception of chocolate, which I can't eat, which is just tragic. But with that one exception, like, I'll eat anything.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because I never thought I'd be an individual that I love. There's really pretty much no vegetable that I won't eat. I think the only one that was very hard for me to actually enjoy because I didn't have it right was eggplant. But now I enjoy eggplant and I can make something myself. You know, I love okra. Okra is another one which I don't get often, but okra is so good. And, you know, I like a bonito chips. I will eat. I love a simple rice cake with some peanut butter on it. But one of my favorites is peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Oh my God. You and I were separated at birth, I think. One of my favorite foods in the world always has been since I was a kid, a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Yes. And I saw someone do something the other day where they put it in the skillet.
Oh man, now we're getting fancy.
Okay, I said I'm gonna have to get that one a shot next time. Yeah. Now I'm starting to enjoy Marianne too. I'm enjoying cooking now. You know, so I'm just putting some things together. I put jalapenos or red bell peppers, yellow bell peppers, orange bell peppers with some scrambled tofu or some tempeh or some seitan. You know, and I'll mix it up with something, some beans or some rice or a Japanese potato. Put it in the middle of a Japanese. It's now because I'm enjoying making meals. I never really used to, like you said, I was simple. But now I'm starting to have a little fun experimenting. You know? And so it's really become a fun chore. And have you ever done air fried Japanese sweet potatoes?
Oh, like every night. Yeah, the air fryer has changed everything, I have to say. It's a miracle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. So how much do you work out and how much does that mean that you do you have to eat really a lot? I know that when you're preparing for a competition, you mentioned in the interview, you actually have to eat very little, but on a normal level, because you work out a lot, do you have to eat really a lot?
So normally I'll say I consume anywhere between 3,500 to 10,000 calories a day. And that's because I love to eat. And two, you know, it's just to kind of put on some size, but I don't really like to go too far off of what I look like on stage. Meaning I usually compete at a weight of about 160 to 162 pounds. I will typically go up to about 168 pounds in the time from when I'm not competing. But I also do have a pretty moderate to fast metabolism. So that's why consuming a lot of food and I'm active helps me to maintain that weight. So, and I don't eat multiple meals. You know, when I say multiple, I don't eat like 6 to 8 meals. Like some people say that they have to do it that way. That was an old way of saying that that's how you get your metabolism boosted. But based on a lot of study that necessarily doesn't do that. You know, I eat maybe 3 to 4 meals, but they're pretty big. You know, but when it's coming down to competition, I'm eating less, but towards the last 3 days before the competition, my food intake goes extremely high because now it's time to really absorb as much nutrients as I can into the muscle so that I have that look that looks bigger on stage because now my skin is tighter.
So, you know, so many athletes who talk about veganism, it's hard to find athletes who talk about veganism other than the health benefits. You know, it's become more popular, particularly just certain areas, not so much in bodybuilding, perhaps, but, you know, certain areas, like there are a lot of vegan athletes, but they hardly ever talk about the animals. And you talk about the animals. Do you get a lot of pushback for that?
So when I started, you know, it's funny, before I was an engineer, I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Oh, so you've always cared about animals?
Yes. What pushed me away from doing it is how long it took to get that degree. I was like,
yeah, no, being a veterinarian is crazy.
I said, that's okay. I don't want to be there that long. So, and I had a love for animals, but like, as I mentioned, living in Jamaica, and understanding, you know, because I took a turn to where I was so anti non-melanated people. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. And that would be me.
So I took on the terminology, the same thing with the animals. And so it's not until I really understood the plight of animals, because once I really made that shift, and then someone mentioned I should watch Earthlings a long time ago, like the first 5 minutes, it was horrible. I said, I could watch that. But then I watched it all the way through, and it clicked.
It changed. That movie has changed more people than any other thing I know. It really has.
I couldn't believe how someone treated a dog, let alone the cows and the all different animals that, and the mammals around the world, what they deal with. And the fact that you don't really need to eat them in order to do anything. And I haven't really gotten pushed back. I think sometimes when I mention it, of course, I get people that will ask me questions about it. And they're like, oh man, that's horrible. And it's only because they've never seen that before. When they see it, it kind of helps them witness, but it's not a selfish thing. So that's the health aspect tends to get people to change more because it's about self. I'm thinking about me and my future. So now I want to make a shift. The animal is like, eh. But if the person wants to take on the health, the animal, the environment, they tend to stay longer with the switch or the shift in their thought process and the shift in their what they intake. But if it's just health, what happens later on is, oh, you know, your health can deteriorate if all you do is eating vegan. You need to add some egg in there and some fish.
Yeah, don't just be some new health information. Yeah.
And that's what, because a lot of athletes that are mainstream, they do that. I started including eggs now and then, or fish now and then, because new health initiatives, because, you know, we have to realize that there's agendas out there in order to push a certain company or to get someone's pockets fatter. They have to keep the agenda going to get people to make that switch all the time, you know, because most people are fickle. They don't have the integrity to stand firm on what they've made a decision for in the past. Once there's a change in the future, I'm going to change now because I heard that my brain I will get brain fog if I continue to consume vegan.
Right, whatever, yeah. Do you feel that your background in Rasta and Rastafarianism and Ital, even though it's not directly related to the animals, because it's in the ways that you pointed out, but do you think it helped you develop that integrity to, you know, when you found that that was an issue for you? And of course, you weren't living in Jamaica anymore. You were living in a country that had factory farming and you saw Earthlings, and it was you realized all these terrible things were going on. Do you think it was that background that let you, you know, not be one of those people who was like, oh, well, the information's changed, so I'm going back? Because you're exactly right. It's the animals. Like, people can change for health, and people can even change for the environment, but they're both, they don't really make you stick with not eating animals all the time. But if you care about animals, then you just don't want them on your plate. Anyway, that was a very long question, but.
No, but you're right. And yes, it does. And, you know, I'll even go to the point of, there's two things that usually have people questioning this lifestyle is And it's the irony of it, Mariana. I never saw those things that being issued. It's not until the new health things come around, B12 and protein. Protein used to be the big one. Oh, you're not, your protein is not high quality. You don't get enough amino acids. Da-da-da-da-da. But then when you look at it, the animal that you're consuming consumes the ground, and then the ground gives them the amino acids, which then turn into protein, which then build muscle. Now you're going to eat the animal. So then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm seeing the middleman. So then B12, you're not getting enough B12 because you're not getting the dirt and you're not getting blah, 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 blah. And now I looked at it like, wait a second. I had never heard this B12 thing. And now all of a sudden health experts are saying B12 is a problem and an issue in the community. And I feel like it's always an agenda, something to change things up to have people just so distracted that they don't look at what they're doing within their own life. So the point is, all of that, my history with Rasta and living ITAL and holding my integrity kept me sound with this, because once I made that choice and that decision, I wasn't just going to let somebody come in and say, oh, no, you shouldn't do it this way. You need to do it this way. And I love the animals. I couldn't imagine. But yeah, man, give me some of that sirloin real quick. No, you know, that's just, I think if someone, they said, we're about to kill this person if you don't eat it. Sorry.
Yeah, it's what people don't realize is that once you've been vegan for a while, you have no desire to eat a dead animal. Like, it's just not there anymore. People just don't realize that. And I think that's what scares them so. But yeah, that's exactly how I feel as well. So it's been so, like, I can't believe we have so much in common, Tori. Peanut butter and banana sandwiches and Japanese sweet potatoes.
So you know what to feed me if I'm in your area. Tori,
just drop in. They'll be right on the plate. Thanks so much for doing this. It's been great.
Oh, thank you for your patience and your time. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.